The story of the Good Samaritan teaches us to be merciful. Because being loving is a nice thing, but that doesn't do anything, amen? And being prayerful is a great thing, but it doesn't do anything now. But when you're merciful, what do? You help the person in need. That's being merciful. Action to help. What actions did the Babylonians not take against the kingdom of Judah? What actions did the Babylonians, remember we studied that last week? We talked about Babylon and King Nebuchadnezzar. What actions did the Babylonians not take against the kingdom of Judah? Did they not kill the priests or broke walls? They broke down the walls or destroyed vineyards. What actions did the Babylonians not take against the kingdom of Judah? Kill priests. Anybody? They didn't kill the priests. How about broke walls? They didn't break any walls. They didn't break it. How about destroyed vineyards? They did not destroy the vineyards. According to 2 Kings, they did not destroy the vineyards. They broke down walls and they killed all the priests, but they left the vineyards up. Why would they do such a thing? Yeah, maybe a little vineyard stuff, but that's it. According to 2 Kings, they did not destroy the wine. I got one more for today in 1 Peter. Peter says he is writing to the elect. What other name does he call the recipients? What other name does he call the elect in 1 Peter? He says he is writing to the elect. What other name does he call these people? Does he call them strangers? Does he call them children? Or does he call them brothers? So in 1 Peter, he's writing to the elect. What other name? How about strangers? Does he call them strangers? How about children? Does he call them children? How about brothers? Does he call him brothers? Praise the Lord. In 1 Peter, he's writing to the elect. He calls them strangers. Because we're all part of one. We don't know everybody, so we're strangers as the elect. Called by God, amen? We're all called by God. Whatever you call yourself, whatever denomination, it matters not to Jesus. The fact that you believe and you're covered in his blood, the fact that you have Jesus in your heart, and we're all strangers meeting each other, amen? That's what 1 Peter. So hallelujah. Now, I don't know if Dave heard before, but I have a testimony that I'm going to give at the end of this sermon, and in regards to Second Congregational, you and us. Amen? Yep. Everybody ready? Y'all good? Everybody take your shoes off if you want. Sit back and relax. I call this sermon today my Paul Harvey sermon. I love Paul Harvey. Anybody remember who Paul Harvey was? I loved him. Said, now you knew the story. And what did he say? Here's the rest of the story. My Paul Harvey. Now I want you to read along because I'm going to read. I'm going to start right. Y'all ready? Now in the second year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. And his spirit was so troubled that his sleep left him. Anybody ever had that? Yeah. Then the king gave a command to call the magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans to tell the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. Here we come. Here we come. We're coming. And the king said to them, I've had a dream and my spirit is anxious to know the truth. I want to know the dream. So what did they say to him? What's the first thing? They said, well, tell us the dream, right? That was somebody said to you, I had a dream, tell us the dream. And he said, I'm not telling you anything. You're supposed to be astrologers and sorcerers and soothsayers. If I tell you the dream, you're going to go home and come up with some solution, some interpretation, and you're going to try to trick me. So I'm not telling you anything. Wow, that was a little. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, my decision's firm. If you do not make known the dream to me and its interpretation, then you shall be cut in pieces and your houses shall be made as an ash heap. Whoops. So tell me the dream. He does say this. There's a great reward. There's a reward. See, it's, however, if you tell the dream and its interpretation, you shall receive from me gifts, rewards, and great honor. Therefore, tell me the dream and its interpretation. These astrologers, soothsayers, and all these magicians couldn't tell them. Isn't that right? They king and said this. Listen to what they say. Let the king tell his servants the dream and we will give you its interpretation.
Yeah.
Nope. Well, you can do it. So listen to what they say. It's a difficult thing that the king requests. Of course it is. And there is no other who can tell it to the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. Did you hear that? They said, well, nobody could really do that. So they're actually talking against themselves, amen? They said there's nobody who can tell us the king except the gods whose dwelling is not in the flesh. So they're admitting, the soothsayers, the magicians, and all these fortune tellers, that they can't do it. Can I get an amen? You understand what they're telling them? For this reason, the king was angry and was furious and gave the command to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree went out, and they began killing the wise men, and they sought Daniel and his companions to do what, church?
Destroy them.
Kill them. What does that tell you? What is the first thing that tells you? Maybe the second thing, or even the third thing. Because this is so important here. You heard all that, maybe you never thought of it. The devil doesn't know what you're thinking, amen? The devil doesn't know what you dream, why you dream it, or how you dream it, and doesn't know your thoughts, amen? Right there, you want to hang on to that right there. The devil does not know what you're thinking. How does he find out what you're thinking? Because we open our mouths. It's the truth. When you speak out how worried you are about this or that, the devil's writing that down. Because he has his people, just like we have angels. He's got it, and he listens. Imagine that. Satan listens to your words, not my words. He listens to yours. They listen to my words too. But right there, that story tells you right there, from the mouth of the magicians, the soothsayers, and all the fortune tellers, that God is the only one who knows your thoughts and prayers. God, how wonderful is that? So we move on to Daniel. Daniel said, oh my God, what's going on? And Daniel went and asked the king to give him time that he might tell the king the interpretation. See, because he finds out. He said, what's going on? And they said, well, there's a mandate now. There's a commandment that all the soothsayers and the magicians be killed. Imagine that. What happened? And this should also tell you about Daniel. Amen. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Daniel's not God. Daniel doesn't know about the dream. He doesn't even know. But he knows what to do. That's important. Yes. So Daniel went in and asked the king to give him time that he might tell the king the interpretation. Time to do what, church? Anybody?
Pray.
Pray. Then Daniel went to his house and made the decision known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they might seek mercies from the God of heaven concerning this secret, so that Daniel and his companions might not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Yes, they went to God to do what? Pray. To what? To find mercy where God might speak to them. Seeking mercies from the God of heaven. Was he weak to do that? No. Was it foolish? No. We go to verse 19. Then the secret was revealed to Daniel. Give him praise. Come on. That's a big deal when you read that. You should see that. Oh, I know. This is hard. Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. I'll tell you what. I never had anybody ever have a night vision. I don't know if that would be scary or not, but if God was doing it, just pay attention. He wasn't afraid, amen? He wasn't worried. He had a night vision, and God gave him the answer. And Daniel answered, he went. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven. He blessed God for the answer, and listen to what he says to God. Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his, and he changes the times of the season. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness and the light who dwells with him. He says, I thank you and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and might and have now made known to me what we asked you for you have made known to us the king's demand. Wow. How beautiful is that, amen? How wonderful. Listen to you. Listen to what he's saying to God. How many times have you ever said thank you to God like that? And when God, anybody God has ever answered one of your prayers, you all better put your hands up. You all put your, you got loved ones, you got things. And I'm not talking about picking a winner of a horse race. I'm talking about things in your life. If you haven't talked to God like that, you should talk to Him more often, because He wants to answer your prayer. How many believe that? That He wants to. He wants to answer your prayer. And He gave David, He gave Daniel, I'm sorry, the answer to his request. And Daniel was so appreciative and said, have you ever said that to God? I mean, take it a minute and say, thank you, Lord, like that. Therefore, Daniel went to the leader and he said, take me to the king, take me to the king. He went to try to save lives. Of course he did. Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, hear him. He said, the secret which the king has demanded, listen to this. This, you all want, how many people sometimes you want to get, I don't want to say revenge, but you want to like stick it there. You know what I'm saying? You want to put, be a thorn in somebody's side? Listen to what, you feel good, trust me. He said, Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, oh, by the way, the secret which the king has demanded, the wise men, the astrologers, and the magicians, and the soothsayers cannot declare it to the king. He didn't have to include that, amen. He didn't have to say that. But that should make you feel good that he took a few seconds to say, oh, by the way, they couldn't do it. But there is a God in heaven, hallelujah, who reveals secrets, and he has made known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what will be in latter days. Your dream and the vision of your head upon your bed where there was. Hallelujah. Thank you. He said, you, O king, we're watching, and behold, a great image. Wow. This great image, whose splendor was excellent, stood before you, and its form was awesome. Wow, those words are powerful. He's telling them to dream. And the images were what? Awesome. This image's head was of fine gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, and his feet partly of iron and partly of clay. Wow. And he said, you, O king, are the king of kings. For the God of heaven has given you a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. He gave it to God. Amen. He's saying, king, God has given you all this. All this thing you think you have, no, God has given to you. And whether wherever the children of men dwell, or the beasts of the field and the birds of the heaven, he has given it your hand and has made you ruler over them all. You are this head of gold. Wow. Wow. He tells them the dream. That must have been awesome, seeing that image that was so powerful and so overwhelming that he couldn't understand what it all meant. And Daniel tells him the image. He tells him the head is made of what?
Gold.
And he tells him about the body, silver and bronze and iron. Boy, it must have been great. And he said, you are a great king because God has given you this kingdom. And you are the head of gold. Imagine what he must have felt like. Thank you, Lord. And he said, and in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. How long? Inasmuch as you saw that the stone was cut off of the mountain without hands, and that it was broken to pieces of iron, bronze, clay, of silver, and of gold, the great God has made known to you the kings which will come and pass after you, and the dream is certain and an interpretation is sure. He's talking about God himself. He said that the days of these kings and God of heaven shall set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. Who's going to do that? The God of the Bible. Hallelujah. Then Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face. What did he do? Prostrate before Daniel and commanded. What did he do? That they should present an offering and incense to him, Daniel. The king answered Daniel, ready, and said, truly, your God is the God of gods, the Lord of kings, and the revealer of secrets, since you could reveal this secret. Hallelujah. Then the king promoted Daniel and gave him many great gifts. And he made him ruler over chief administrator, over the, all the wise men of Babylon, over everybody. Can I get an amen? But this, listen to what Daniel, I pray that you be like this. Hallelujah. Promoted Daniel and gave him many great gifts, and he made him ruler over the whole province. Also, Daniel, ready? After the king had told him what he was going to give him, Daniel petitioned the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the provinces of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. Daniel did not forget his friends. Where did he go to when he wanted to find out? He went to his friends. Amen. He went to people to do what? What did they do? They did what? Pray. Did he pray by himself? No. He found three people to do what? Pray with. To make the prayer more powerful. Amen. When you're praying for something, find believers, Miss Jean, correct? You find believers. You find somebody that's going to stand there and not say maybe or not say I hope so. You don't want to hope so. You want to pray to God. And Daniel went to the three people he could trust. And after the king goes proclaiming all these wonderful things to Daniel, he said, wait a minute, I got three friends that helped me. I didn't do this by myself. And the king said, okay, and he raised them up, the three Hebrew, in his sight. The king says, truly, your God is the God of gods. Amen? That's time to celebrate. You guys should be celebrating. I'm celebrating. I'm reading this and I'm celebrating. I'm sorry. I trust God. I love God. God is good all the time. All the time God is good. I want you to act like all the time. I'm going crazy here. Hallelujah. He says, truly, your God is the God of gods. I love that. I truly love that. Truly, your God is the God of gods, the Lord of kings, and the revealer of secrets, since you couldn't reveal this. Hallelujah. So what happened next? Nebuchadnezzar gets this, you know, the internal thing. He can't help himself. Amen, Jim? Nebuchadnezzar cannot help himself. God said the head of the statue was what? And God said the head of the statue was who? Nebuchadnezzar. He's going to have a kingdom. He cannot help himself. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold out of what? Whose height was 60 cubits and its width 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. And King Nebuchadnezzar sent words to gather together the satraps, the administrators, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrate, and all the officials of the provinces, everybody, can I get it, to come to the dedication of the image which King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. He can't help himself. He makes an image of what? Gold. Of gold. And it's 90 feet high. 90, and it's 9 feet wide by 9 feet. 90 feet high. Oh, it might not be all gold, amen? No, it was certainly gold on the outside. Why does he make it a gold? Because the gold, he was the head, how can we make the gold? Nothing's going to happen to this image. He can't help himself. Wow, that's just amazing. Oh, here we go. He calls everybody, amen? He calls everybody. I'm going to read it again, everybody. Oh, give me a second here. And a minute. And so the satraps, the administrators, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrate, and all the officials of the province gathered together for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried out. You all know what that is? To you is commanded. To you it is what? Commanded. Say that with me. To you it is commanded. Sounds like a mandate. Anybody ever remember a mandate? Commanded. Listen now. Nations, any people, any language. Let me read that again. It's commanded to any people, any nation, any language. Whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Ouch. He says this, that at the time you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre of the psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the gold image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Who does he tell that to?
Everybody.
He can't help himself. He was doing fine until he got here. He just... So, and listen to what it, one more time, listen to this. Whoever does not fall down, anybody know what fall down means? If you don't fall down and worship, you're going to be cast into a fiery furnace. Here's a little bird now. So, whoever doesn't what, church? Fall down and do what? Worship. All right, you with me? Are you all with me? Now, I wrote this, the accusation. Here comes the accusation. Therefore, at the time, certain Chaldeans came forward and accused the Jews. They spoke and said to the king, O king, live forever. You, king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, harp, and all that other stuff, they need to do what? Fall down and do what? Worship. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of a fiery furnace. Thank you. There you go. So what did they just do? They went to the king and said what? Some people are not doing what? Falling down and worshiping. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And they made the accusation against the three Hebrew boys. But they said, they came forward and accused the Jews. He said, there are certain Jews among you who have set over the affairs. You've made these people over the affairs of the providence. Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your guards or worship the gold image which you have come up with. Amen? What do you think Nebuchadnezzar did? The Bible said he went into a rage. Say that with me. He went into a rage. That's Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought the three people that are accused of not worshiping. Amen? Are you with me again? Good. Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said to them, is it true? See, he didn't take the word of those people. He brings the three up and he says to them, is it true that you do not serve my God or worship the gold image which I have set up for you? Now, if you're ready, he's giving them a second chance. How many want a second chance? There we are. These people are brought in front of the king. And he said, I'm so mad, but I'm going to give you a second chance. I'm going to do it. If you're ready, at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, psaltery, and symphony, with all kinds of music, that you fall down and worship the image which I made. Good. I will do it. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? That's what he said. That's the line that gets me. That he just understood Daniel. Remember, your God is truly the God of all gods. And he right away after that tells these boys, who's the God that's going to save you from my hands? Wow. How soon you forget. And I'll tell you why he forgets in a minute. If you are faced with or else concerning God, how would you act? What would you do? You can't do that. You can't go out on that green, kneel down and pray, or else. Would you stop going on the green, kneeling down and pray? Because he said, well, if they catch you doing it the first time, say, okay, we understand that you did it once. I'm going to give you a command. Never do it again. What would you do? What would Meshach, Abednego, and Shadrach do? The king is saying right there, if you just do it, if you just do it, you can just do it for you. You don't have to, nothing to do with your God. You just go down and worship the idol. He said, I'll let you live. I'll give. What did they say?
No.
Absolutely not. But they were respectful. They were respectful. If you're ready, he said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered, ready, and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hands, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up.
Wow, how beautiful is that? Thank you, Lord. Nebuchadnezzar, of course, is full of fury. An expression on his face changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There's something that I believe people miss here. When all the noise and all the music, when the horns and the trumpets, what is it that we're supposed to do? What does it say? We're supposed to fall down and do what?
Worship.
So when you hear the horn, the lute, and all that, you're supposed to do what? Fall down and worship. If you fall down and worship, how do you know that somebody isn't? If you see somebody else not doing it, does that mean you're not doing it either? But how, I mean, all the people in all the whole area and all the communities, there's three people. How many three who aren't doing it? How do you know that unless you're not doing it either? Because you're spying. Oh, and maybe one time you looked over and you didn't, but you're not supposed to look over. You're supposed to fall down and worship the image. And I kind of wrote that down because that maybe you don't quite see it that way, but I think that these people who were coming to the king didn't do it. I don't believe that. How can anyone see them unless they weren't doing it either? And the Hebrews answer, the answer is so beautiful. They weren't angry. They just said, if that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. We're not going to do that. We have no need to answer you in this matter. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, an expression on his face changed toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I bet it did. I bet it absolutely did. Thank you, Lord. I bet it did. Thank you, Lord. Then the men were bound in their coats and their trousers, their turbans and other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Well, that's the end for them. They were thrown into the furnace. Goodbye. And therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flames of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Imagine that. The people who walked them to the fiery furnace, what happened to them? They died. Hallelujah. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished. Amen? Jim, he was astonished. Why was he astonished? That's a great word. And he rose up in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, hey, did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the furnace? And they answered and said to the king, true, O king, we put three people in there. You were right here, we did it. Look, he said. I looked, look. He answered, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire. They're doing what? Walking where? In the midst of the fire with somebody else. He sees four people. And this is so cool. This is, again, where I get so excited about this. He sees four people loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they're not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Your God. And not God the Father. Who? The Son of God. Nebuchadnezzar doesn't know anything about the Son of God. That's what gave me goosebumps when I started reading and understanding. He didn't know anything about the Son of God. Jesus wasn't. This is Daniel. This is the Old Testament. This is before Jesus came. Amen. We all know that Jesus was. If this isn't proof that Jesus was in the beginning, as John said, I don't know what else we can tell him, but that's not what the story is. He looks, and the image is somebody looks like the Son of God. Who is the Son of God?
Jesus.
When we see Jesus, there will be no doubt, Amen. There will be no doubt who he is when you see him. If Nebuchadnezzar, an unbeliever, saw him and called him Jesus, the Son of God, imagine what, because you know him, you're going to know him immediately. There won't be any mystery. You won't wonder. wonder who's that guy,
you will know that he is Jesus, the Son of God. Amen. And you know that because Nebuchadnezzar was an unbeliever, had no idea who he was, but he called him exactly who he was. He said there were four people walking in the furnace.
Woo!
Nebuchadnezzar, he went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke, saying, I loved it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants, listen to what he calls them now. Servants of the Most High God.
Woo!
This guy's a lunatic. And he says to them, looking in the fire, come out and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire. And the satraps, administrators, governors, and the king's counselors gathered together, and they saw these men whose bodies the fire had no power. The hair of their heads was not touched, and their garments not affected by the smell of fire was not on them.
Thank you, Lord.
God, that's good. Anybody remember who I said in this book of Daniel, why it's historical and why it's so important to the Jewish nation? Because they needed to see miracles. Amen. When the Jews overcame Babylon and they got set free, if it was just because somebody was being nice, that wasn't good enough. They had to see miracles. Amen. The other miracle, of course, of Daniel and the lion's den. But this is important because everybody was there, saw them coming out of the fiery furnace. And only one person could do that. God. Amen. Nebuchadnezzar saying, the Son of God. Satraps, administrators, and governors. Okay, let's go. And the king's counselors gathered together and they saw these men. And nothing was happening to them. Amen? How about that? Now Nebuchadnezzar spoke. I bet he did. And this is what he said. Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him, and they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own God, capital G. Therefore, I make a decree. Here we go again. But listen to this. Listen to this mandate. That any people, nation, or language which speaks against or amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut to pieces, and their houses shall be made as an ash heap. Because there is no other God who can deliver like this. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to prominence in Babylon. Wow. Any language, any nation who speaks amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Is that not a miracle? Is that not a miracle the Jewish nation, the Hebrew nation can hold on to? Is that not a miracle that we can hold on to? Because that's the God you're praying to. That's the God we serve. Amen. You just have to have faith. You have to have that kind of faith to say, God said so, I believe it. Amen. When you're praying, you don't pray alone. You get two or three people and pray to, and whether they will. If they start saying, I hope, you say, you leave. Oh, I hope you're right. No, you say, you need to go over there. We don't need to pray. And I don't mean to be cruel. I just mean that when he went to the three Hebrew boys, there was no wavering.
Yeah.
Praise God. Any nation, any language. Getting close to the end, okay? Except the king serves no God. Nebuchadnezzar said all those things, but he serves no God. You'll see people that talk like that today that don't have the Spirit of God in it. You'll hear people talk like that and you know right away there's no God in it. I'm just saying there's evil, there's darkness. And it doesn't have to be really bad evil, but it's darkness. There's no compassion. Say that word with me. It's so important. Compassion. How many want to meet people with compassion? When you talk to people, you want to meet compassion. When you go to the store, you want to find favor. You want to find compassion. With the young lady bagging your things, you want to see a smile. And this king served no God. He served himself. God, any God was not in his heart. This is the moment. It was not, there was no spirit of the Lord in his heart. God was up here and it was all about power. It was all about control. And that's what it was for him. Notice that the three Hebrew boys, when the king made the mandate that everybody fall down and worship,
They didn't protest. I mean, protesting is great. You need to get out there, but you need to be seen, amen? And you need to be heard, at least, even if you're not right. And I hate to say, but you have a right to say what you want to say in the way you want to say it, amen? But these three boys, they didn't protest. They didn't go up and say, they just didn't do it. They didn't simply refrain from idolatry themselves. That's all they did. They weren't public, and they weren't private. They weren't hidden. They simply obeyed God, amen? Someone might see them not praying at the statue, worship at the sound of the... But it made no thought to them. They didn't care if anybody didn't see them. They didn't think about it. They just were not going to do it, amen? They stood on solid ground. They stood on the rock. And they simply would not. Their heart, their faith, their trust and loyalty was to their God alone. Amen? To their God alone. How many see it that way? They didn't make a lot of it. They just said, I'm not doing that. I still think that some of the people who ratted them out they broke the law. They broke the commandment. If they saw them not worshiping, they weren't worshiping. But I want to read this. You are the light of the world. You are. Let me say that again. Ready? You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. To how many in the house?
All.
Let your light so shine before men that they may see your God works, your good works, and glorify your Father in heaven. When you're out in the world, let them see your light. Whatever you're doing, do it unto God. If you feel so right to do what you're doing, make sure you're not doing it to man, and make sure you're not doing it to be seen. Make sure you're doing it unto God, and He will shine that light, and you will shine a light out. Amen? Because your light, you are the light of the world. Nobody knows about God unless you tell them. Some people never heard of Jesus unless you tell them. Somebody maybe never heard the good news, but you have to tell them that. Can I get an amen? God gets to. Your God gets the glory. Now the testimony. Thank you, Lord. We were told that we had to shut the church down. We knew that it was against God. We knew that God called us to gather together and we had to come and worship. That the most important thing in our lives was the Bible and worshiping God. We knew that. But we were all told that churches couldn't be open. Can I get an amen? Package stores could be open. Grocery stores could be open. I get that. I'm okay. But they said, for whatever reason, churches could not be open. We closed. We did what we were told to. But I got a phone call, and I don't want to lift him up, but I have to lift him up from David. And we spoke. And Chuck in Maryland, we spoke. And we, after 4 weeks, we said, that's enough. That's enough. That's enough. We're coming back to church. We didn't protest. We didn't stand on the green and make a celebration. We didn't play the music louder. We had church on Sunday. The church up the street did not have it. The church across the street did not have it. Their call. Some churches started Zoom churches. Their call. But I spoke to these people, and we spoke together. My wife and I spoke together and said, we need to be in church. After 4 weeks, Second Congregational, you opened the doors to our family, to our church family. And I look around and you might say, we don't have 500 people. We don't have 100 people. But we have a family in Christ who believes in the Word of God. And we have a family right here, you, in this church, each and every one of you. Stood on the Word of God, and we opened the doors. And we came together. And I think you should give yourself just that understanding of what you did. What you did, Brother David, I'm not lying. I know you said, I can't do this. I need to be in church. And that's the testimony. his family. What we're doing, we might not be 1,000 strong. We might not be 100 strong right now. We got folks away on vacation. But it doesn't matter. We are a solid foundation in the Word of God. Look what you did. Look what you did through the mandate. Look what you did for God. Give him praise. Seen, we just wanted to worship God. That's what we did it unto God. We didn't want to cause an upset, but you know what? They went by and saw the doors open. Nobody said anything. They went by and saw people coming to church, walking up the church steps. Nobody said anything. I believe we were covered by the blood of Christ. I believe God had our back, and I believe nobody said anything because they just knew the truth, that churches needed to be open for the people, and you did that. You, each and every one of you, look at each other, and you were responsible for that. Amen? That's powerful. Amen. Thank you. God, Jesus did all this for us on that cross, and all he asked for today is that we do this in remembrance of him. That's what we're doing now. He took the bread, blessed and broke it, said, this is my body being torn for you. You know what he means now because you read the story, you saw the story. But the disciples had no idea, and all he did was pass the bread around and he said, eat, and eat this bread and do this in remembrance of me in Jesus' name. Forgive us, Lord, for our iniquities. Forgive us for our shortcomings this week. Words, actions, deeds. Anything that we thought, Lord, that was against you. Anything that separated us from us. Cleanse us this morning, Lord. We're all reaching up to you, between you and God. Say, Lord, forgive me. You know, things that I don't even realize I did. Cleanse me, Lord, so I can take this sacrament, the sacrament of your blood. He poured the wine into a cup, saying, this is my blood being shed for you for the remission of your sins. The greatest gift of all, forgiveness. And he said, drink and do this in remembrance of me this morning in Jesus' name. Be healed this morning. Pray with one another more. Talk to God more. Spend 5 minutes in Proverbs, 5 minutes in the sun. Just spend a little time. Open up and read a psalm. If it doesn't touch you, read the next one. Read a short one. Read a part of one. I promise you that you'll come to things that will really move you. And then God can speak to you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that story that we keep reading and reading. Let us see different things every time we read it, Lord. Let us see the power of faith. Let us see the power of prayer. Let us see it, Lord. We just love you and worship you in this house. In Jesus' name, give him praise. Sir. Brother Fred.
Nancy's up with her sister in Springfield. So.
Nancy gets a special dispensation. Elder Nancy is in Springfield with her sister.
And she's cheating on us with another church.
Well,
that's okay.
As long as she's not tithing it enough. Miss Dale, pretty level right now. Yes.
He's in Gaylord.
Yep, Gaylord, and he's one day at a time.
We're putting his bodyguard together.
Praise God.
God has answered many, many prayers.
Every day he answers prayers, but Miss Dale, we'll keep you in special prayer for that. We know that's going to be a long battle, but every time we don't hear anything, we thank God for that. That each day is just, every day is a healing. So thank you, Lord. Thank you for our friends being in church with us. We hope you enjoy that church. Let's stand and take the offering. Let's see if you would.
Thank you.
Tithing, we can't make it without that. I know that's another part of the ministry, Lord, but this is a free will offering church. So our giving is between you and us. God calls us to be a cheerful giver. I know people smile when I said, Elder Nancy, be tithing here, but they do. They do in this church. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the givers in this ministry, Lord. Just help us to be stronger and send people here, Lord, and help us to lift up this church. Lord, we are a testimony to you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We didn't do it to be called out, but we did it because we knew we had to be here, Lord, as we do each and every Sunday. So take this offering from your people, Lord, and establish our faith in our church in Jesus' beautiful name. Thank you, Lord. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. God can deliver us from a trial, or he can miraculously sustain us in a trial. The furnace equals life's troubles, some hotter yet at the time equally as difficult. Yet we endure and will endure difficult times. The attacks that come are not from God. It is faith in God that overcomes, and faith in God that has overcome. Understand what we go through every day. It could be like a furnace. And sometimes he doesn't answer you the way he wants you want him to. But he miraculously sustains us in a trial. Oh boy, is that not true. When you think, how can I make it till tomorrow? And you made it till tomorrow because God held you. And when that answer comes, I believe you forget the days of trouble, and you forget the days of worry, and you forget the days that you were anxious. Once the answer comes and you have it in your hand, and God has answered you, and God has lifted you up, you will simply say, thank you, but let us learn, even like Daniel, to say it so much more from your heart. God, thank you for our answered prayers. Thank you for leading us through the furnaces and from the lion's den, that we think sometimes are the most important things in our life, yet we forget things we prayed for 3 years ago that were the most important things in our life. God carries us through. Our faith makes us strong to overcome. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for our nation. Thank you for those who gave the ultimate sacrifice that we could be here on this Sunday morning talking about Jesus. Lord, I ask you to bless the United States of America, an imperfect country with imperfect people who are turning to God on this day. God bless America, Brother Zippy.
God bless America, land that I love. Stay beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans, black and foam.